The night the comet burned across the heavens, every hearth trembled, as if the gods turned their faces toward the mortal world. It came like a ring of fire, tearing the sky in two with a terrible otherworldly grace, casting an eerie glow upon the lamb below. Some who witnessed it saw a blessing, a herald of great change. Others saw doom, a raw wound opened by the old powers in their wrath. The castle stood silent, its stone walls catching the distant flicker of flames in the welkin. Its battlements rose like fangs against the dark expanse, looming over the lake and the sleeping town, wrapped in a thin crust of early winter frost. Crowned with high crenellations, the fortress towered above ancient ground that had weathered centuries of war and whispers of old magic. Tonight, however, it seemed to hold its breath, waiting. The newly formed ice reflected the comet's light and turned the lake's surface into a vast fractured mirror, its cracks groaning softly in response to the celestial omen. The wind carried the scent of fresh snow, of wet stone and burning pine from the castle hearts, but it did little to dispel the unease settling over the stronghold like a shroud. Inside the great hall, knights in polished mail stood in stoic clusters, their hands resting upon the hilts of their swords. Some whispered in Latin, their faith unwavering in the face of the unknown, while others muttered in hushed Wendish about Svarog blazing across the dome in his chariot. A few of the Saxons among them exchanged wary glances, reciting prayers of their own. Anxious servants bustled about, offering mulled wine to those who would take it, but most declined, their stomachs knotted with dread. In the highest tower of the keep, within the chamber of the lady of the castle, a fierce battle was underway. Voitslava, her golden hair plastered to her forehead, lay upon a grand feather-stuffed bed, its heavy drapes drawn back to reveal her laboring figure bathed in candlelight. Her nightgown, once pristine, was now damp with sweat, clinging to her as she fought through the waves of pain. Voitslava was of Pomeranian blood, descended from the princely House of Griffins, a line of Slavic nobles who had long walked the narrow path between the old ways and the new faith. Her forefathers had once ruled as pagan chieftains, offering sacrifices to the gods of forest and river, their power rooted in the land. But times had changed. The rise of Christianity had swept through Pomerania, forcing noble houses to adapt or perish. Voitslava had been raised in this changing world and taught the Christian prayers of the court, while still hearing the legends of Rod's divine children in the guarded recollections of elders. Though outwardly pious, she had never truly abandoned the beliefs of her ancestors, and still secretly clung to the fragments of the past that had not yet been fully erased. 2 winters past, she had given birth to Privislav's heir, Henry, a boy who already bore the steadfastness of his sire, albeit christened in the name of the very liege lord who had bent Mecklenburg onto the yoke of the empire. Henry's arrival had been heralded with joyous feasts and the tolling of church bells. He was the embodiment of succession, a son to continue his father's lineage, to one day rule as Privislav did. But this birth was unlike any in history. The castle was quieter now, drenched in uncertainty, as if those present knew that something else was at play. The moment Dobrava, the elderly Obotrite midwife, laid her hands upon Voitslava's swollen belly, she had felt it. A conviction that pulsed through her like an unspoken truth. She had seen the signs in the curling smoke of juniper and read them in the restless flight of the birds days before the labor began.